And we're going to go back to some of the words that we read, and this is in Mark chapter 15, and at verse 15, so here we go. So this is really at the heart of the message of the Gospels, where we come to the death of Jesus, and a great deal of attention is given to that. And here the Roman governor Pilate, wanting to satisfy the crowd, says he released a murderer, Barabbas, to them instead of Jesus. And he had Jesus flogged. And it wasn't a small thing to suffer flogging at the hands of a Roman soldier. And then he handed Jesus over to be crucified, which was the most terrible of torture deaths. About the time that I burnt my finger on the string, I asked my father a question. My father was an air gunner in the Second World War. I suppose I was about 7 years old. And I was, like all 7 years old, trying to figure out the world, trying to straighten out in my head. And I asked him, "Were you in the war, Dad?" "Yes." "Did you kill anyone?" "Yes, I did." "So you're a murderer?" "Well, it's not really like that, son." How not?" "It's just not." And that was the end of the conversation. I remember it clearly. I can even remember where he was sitting and where I was sitting when it happened. Don't know if it really helped me to sort the world out. But in a sense, aren't children right when they ask questions like that? Because when you're a child, war makes no sense. You know, bombing people, shooting people, women and children, as well as men, being killed and maimed. There's a lot about the world that doesn't make sense to a child. And as adults, we kind of put up with that. And as Christians, we put up with a lot that doesn't make sense, even in our reading of the Bible. There's a lot of violence in the Bible. There's a horrendous amount of violence in the Bible. A lot of wars. But the most violent events in the Bible are actually reserved for the story of Jesus and the violence which is spelled out in detail that was done to Jesus. It makes no sense. Because you want to say, you know, to the people arresting Jesus, "Why are you arresting Jesus? Why are you treating him so roughly? Why are you spitting on him, blindfolding him, punching him in the face? Why are you beating him? Why are you flogging him? Why are you forcing a crown of thorns in his head? Why are you striking him on the head with a rod? Why are you driving those nails into him and impaling him to a cross and suspending him there to suffocate in that horrible death on the cross? Why? He's God's son, don't you know? He's good. He's the best of all men, the one true man. Why are you doing this? It's so nonsensical. He does not deserve what he suffers. Why?" And we ask that question often. You know, I know we're asking why just now with the war in Gaza splashed all over our newspapers and and screens. Why? And again, the war in Ukraine. Why? And there are many other ethnic and inter-country wars all over the world. Why are you doing this? No one really gains out of the senseless bloodshed of war. So I want to think about this, and there's three things we're going to look at. The purpose, and the punishment, and the peace of God that comes through Jesus. When we ask why about the cross and why Jesus had to die, we have to understand that the Bible makes it very clear it wasn't an accident. It wasn't a mistake. It had a purpose. Much of the whys in the world, we can't really answer. Why is there senseless bloodshed so often in our world? And often there isn't an answer. It's just a reflection on human evil. But when it comes to Jesus and the cross, there's a purpose. Sometimes in war, you know, justice really is on one side of the conflict. I mean, I guess we would say in our country, for example, about the Second World War, that we were just in the actions that we took to defend ourselves against the aggression of Hitler and the Nazis and their allies. We would think of it as a just war. And hopefully today in our society in Britain, we would only fight that kind of war. In the past, Britain fought many unjust wars. But today, hopefully, we would only fight just wars. And to be ready for that, we need our armed services. We need our armed forces in our country, ready to defend us, ready to take a just stand against those who would take away our freedoms and our property and our possessions. And so we thank our armed services for their willingness to devote their lives to that cause, the cause of maintaining peace and maintaining justice in our land. And we can make sense of that. Because sometimes you can make sense of violence. And certainly when it comes to Jesus dying, you just want to say, but this is the man who taught us beautiful things and taught us the way to God. This is the man who healed the sick and raised the dead. This is the man who went about everywhere doing good. Why? Why? And the Bible tells us there was a purpose. It might be hard for us in our childlike thinking to understand that, but it keeps on saying it wasn't a mistake. There was a reason for it. And the reason was punishment. Now, it's very hard for us to hear, but it's there in the Bible often. Here's the words, for example, of Isaiah, where he writes, Jesus was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his wounds we are healed. So look at that, and it's saying, you know, there's some kind of conflict going on, some kind of war almost, and he's making a sacrifice, and he's suffering the consequences of wrong and being punished so that we can have peace and so that we can be healed. But how come Jesus is being punished? That also doesn't make sense. He's done no wrong. And yet he takes the blows. He takes the crown of thorns. He's impaled to that cross. And you want to say to Jesus, perhaps, don't let them do that to you. Defend yourself. No, why do you let them arrest you? Why do you let them treat you like they're treating you? Why do you not retaliate? And we ourselves, we want to land one on the high priest's chin because of what he's doing to Jesus. We want to be aggressors. But Jesus is accepting that. He's not accepting it because he's in any way weak. In fact, he's showing the greatest moral strength because he knows there's a reason for all of this violence. And that reason is the reason that it says there, it's punishment. But he also knows he's not being punished for what he's done because there isn't anything that Jesus has done that deserves punishment. He's been punished for what we've done. Because when God looks at you and me, he doesn't find what he sees in Jesus. In Jesus he sees perfection, innocence, my beloved Son, with whom I'm well pleased, he says. When he looks at us, he doesn't see that. Which one of us can stand up today before everyone here and say, I am totally innocent of all wrong, never done anything wrong? Well, we can't do that. We certainly can't do it before God. When God looks at us, he doesn't find innocence. He finds that there are things in us, in our past and in our present, that deserve punishment. Maybe we've been punished for some of them in the past. perhaps disciplined in some way or other, maybe we've served time, but whatever, we know before God we deserve punishment. May God show us that, because it's not an easy thing to hear. None of us wants to hear that, not at all. But here it's telling us that Jesus is willing to take that for us, to take that so that we can have peace. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him. Because it turns out that in what's been said here, that we've been at war with God. And we don't just think of people who like shake their fists at heaven, who are angry atheists, or you know, who are violent people, or people who just can't live at peace with anyone. But we're all at war with God, because in war you're trying to take territory, and we are all trying to take territory from God all the time. We want the time he gives us to be ours. We want our life, our health, our possessions, our pleasures, our glory. We want it for us, even though it's a gift from him. It's his, but we want it for ourselves. And so we're at war. And maybe we think in our minds, you know, the day will come when I'll make peace with God. You know, when I'm a bit older, I'll make peace. You know, I want everything I can get for myself just now. I want to take from God whatever I can get. And maybe one day I'll stop and I'll say thank you. And I'll bow my knee and I'll ask his forgiveness for being at war with him. But it's not that easy. It's not that easy to make peace with God. It's not just something that we can do for ourselves. Because not even Jesus can make peace with God for it. When he's carrying our sins. You know, if we can't make peace with God when we're carrying our sins, you know, not even Jesus can do that. Not even Jesus. It's not like Jesus can say, right, I've got all their sins now, let's make peace. He doesn't say that to God. He can't do that. He's got to suffer the consequences and carry the punishment. So God is at war with Jesus in the story of the cross. And God wins. God punishes. God punishes our sin to give us peace. Because in the war between ourselves and God, all the justice is on God's side. And we should remember and be very grateful for what Jesus has done. Just as we're here today, we're very grateful for the peace. I mean, wasn't it beautiful to stand out at the war memorial and just savour the peace? And we're grateful for that. Very grateful. We know there's no bombs falling around us. We know there's no threat marching towards us. We're at peace. It's a very precious thing. And we remember those who bought that peace by their blood. And today as well, God is saying, that's what Jesus was doing. Not just so we could have the peace to go about our lives, but so we could have the peace of heaven, the peace of God in our lives. Yes, justice is all on God's side, and we are the aggressors. We're the ones who wanted to take from God. We're the ones who wanted everything to be ours and on our terms. We are the people who are against justice, against God's justice. And we are defeated. We're the losers in that war. We can't win it. But God loves us. God loves us. And God sent Jesus to suffer for us, suffer the punishment, suffer the defeat. What a wonderful sacrifice, above all other sacrifices, for us to remember. And what peace it brings to us. So today, God is calling you and me to surrender to him. He's calling us to put down the weapons of our war that we're engaged in with him. The weapons of, you know, our selfishness, our pride, our wanting things our way, our shutting him and closing him out from our lives. He's calling us to surrender our lives to him. That's the call that God is bringing to you and me today. Because there's a greater peace than the peace of a beautiful day like this, in a place where there is no conflict. And that is the peace of God. The peace of God in our hearts. The peace of God as we look to the future. The peace of God that lasts forever. So I encourage each one of you, do it now, if you haven't done it already. Surrender your life to God and receive his peace through the conflict between God and Jesus that took place, the violence of his death as a punishment for your sins, so that you can have that peace, the peace of heaven in your lives forever. Let's bow in prayer again just for a moment. So Lord, we are here today and you have given us this opportunity to be together and to reflect, as each one of us has done, in very personal ways. But we thank you, Lord, that there is a greater message, Lord, than that we ourselves can establish some kind of peace through our actions. And that is, Lord, the message that Jesus is able to establish eternal peace, heavenly peace with us through his actions. Heavenly Father, please help us to surrender our lives to you, to receive the peace that Jesus offers to us, and to seek to live our lives in the power of his Holy Spirit and in a willingness to ourselves make whatever sacrifices we have to make in order to maintain peace in this world and your peace in the people around us. Hear our prayers, Lord. Be merciful to us. Forgive our sins. In Jesus' name.